ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Everybody, welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 164 of the report, and y'all already know what time it is, baby. Runner Jules, legend has it, the instrumental, cause fuck Killer Mike, but we rocking with this anyway. Let's get into it. Motherfucking deed, it is a Sunday, and we are chilling here in the Span Abode as we do the Span Report podcast. This is episode number 164. Of course, I am your host, Mr. Span, and we celebrating right now, man, because we going to Wakanda, y'all. Come February, we going to motherfucking Wakanda, y'all. Oh my God, I can't wait. I can't motherfucking wait. Oh my God, hold on, I gotta let this ride. Yeah, man. Yes, indeed. Yes, and motherfucking indeed, man. So check this out, man. We was watching that NBA Finals, man. Game 4, Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors, and that motherfucking Black Panther trailer dropped. Nigga. Nigga. You talk about somebody motherfucking excited, man. I can't wait for this film to come out, man. This film has been a long time coming. It's still like 5, 6, 7 months away, man. But still, man, I'm excited right now. I can't wait to see this film. I can't wait. The only thing that could fuck this up for me is the same thing that fucked up, Birth of a Nation for a nigga. Like, I was excited to see that film, and then Nate Parker went out and did some real stupid shit. But, yo, man, I cannot wait to see this motherfucking film, man. Real talk. Yeah, as that goes off. Let me cancel that and leave that alone. But, yeah, man. So, yeah, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that. But before I get into why I'm so motherfucking excited about going to Wakanda and seeing Black Panther, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit the hotline up at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. And of course, we're still looking for possible co-hosts for the Span Report Podcast, man. So go ahead and leave me an email if you want to just leave something to say for whatever it is that we talk about here. But for those of you who may be interested in being a co-host here at the Span Report, man, go ahead and leave a 1-minute video stating why you believe that you would be good for the Span Report, why you think you would be a good fit for the Span Report Podcast here, man. So go ahead and leave those emails. It'd be very much appreciated. Also, follow your man on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. As a matter of fact, somebody is mentioning me on Twitter right now. Let me see what the hell they talking about as we doing this shit live, man. Let me check this out. Oh yeah. You watching live too? Good deal, brother. But yeah. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up throughout the week. We've been talking hella basketball lately, man. Real talking. We're gonna talk a little basketball here later tonight. But yeah, we've been talking a lot of basketball, and it's been fun, man. It really has been with these NBA finals. So go ahead and follow your boy there. Like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. For those of you who don't fuck with Instagram, for those of you who don't fuck with the Twitters, go ahead and follow the Mr. Span fan page. A lot of the stuff that I talk about on Facebook and Instagram, Instagram and or Twitter, it ends up on that Mr. Span fan page. So you can go ahead and like the Mr. Span fan page and get that news there. Also, man, for those of you who like to donate to the show, go to www.thespanreport.com. Basically, everything's available there. You can go there and donate to the show. You can vote in the polls. I got a couple polls that I'm going to present tonight, so you guys can kind of vote on those and let me know what you guys are thinking about some of the stuff we've been talking about lately. Also, man, like I said, everything's available there. Leave comments, watch the show, everything, man. You can watch the show from your phone, your tablet. That's with Chromecast. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. After you get finished going to the Span Report, if you want to watch the show, go to Chromecast.io. Register for Chromecast, and you can watch these shows live on your tablet, on your phone, on your computer, and you can participate in the chat room and on those devices as well, man. So you really, man, you got options here. You got a lot of options when fucking with the Span Report, man. Real talk, and for all of you who go ahead and give your man a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher, it is greatly appreciated. And those 5-star reviews do get read on the show, right? So yeah, man, we are here. We got that trailer that came out during Game 4 of the NBA Finals, man. And I'm gonna tell you guys, man, like I said, I'm very excited about seeing this film, man. I can't wait to go get like my pinstripe suit with the pinstripes made out of vibranium, my nigga. Like, I'm going to my African tailor, like, yo, man, hook a brother up. He's going to be like, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. And that's a terrible fucking African accent. Oh, my God. That was terrible. But, yeah, man, go ahead. And, like, I'm going to get my suit. I'm going to buy 10 tickets. I'm going to be in the, like, the IMAX 3D VIP section. I probably won't leave the theater that day. I may take a day off work to go and, like, just camp out at the fucking movie theater all day and be a part of that, man. It's gonna be lit, y'all. It's gonna be motherfucking lit, man. I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. I feel like a kid, like, ready for Christmas and shit, man. Like, yo, I'm about to get that Nintendo 64, nigga. That's what it feels like. That's exactly what it feels like, man. So I know it's a lot of people who are excited about this, man, who have, like, been clamoring for this sort of thing, this sort of representation, because that's really what it is larger than just a comic book movie for a lot of people, man. Like, with a movie like Black Panther, with the cast that it has, with the, like, hell, they got Angela Bassett, Forest Whitaker, Chadwick Boseman, Danai Gurira, Lupita Nyong'o, like quality actors, man, big name actors participated in this film. And not only that, the representation that a lot of young boys and young black boys and young black girls are going to have, being able to see themselves on the screen doing some awesome and amazing shit. Yeah, it's a comic book movie, but yo, representation matters, man. We've seen,
Captain America and Iron Man and Spider-Man and folks making a big deal about Spider-Man being appropriated because they decided to make a new Spider-Man and he was someone of color and all this other shit. Like, yo, man, T'Challa is black. T'Challa is black. Wakanda is an African country, mythical or like fictional. But still, man, the representation matters, man. So, like, coming up as a kid, not really having these sorts of, like, films being made and not really having that sort of representation being brought to you in the way in which Black Panther is going to be brought to us come February 2018. Man, this shit is fucking awesome, bro. This shit is awesome, man. I'm excited, nigga. Hold on. So, yeah, man, like, it's a great thing. It's a great thing, man. Not only that, man, it from the looks of it, because, like, I get it. Like, I know a lot of folks be like, man, bro, you gushing real hard over a two-minute motherfucking trailer, bro. You don't even know if that film going to be all that good. Like, listen, man, like, I think Marvel they've kind of lended themselves to being trusted with this, right? Like, they've taken care of this, like, I feel like they've set the groundwork for this to be successful. Like, they're promoting this 7 months out, right? They're promoting this 7 months out in the NBA Finals, like, right after a movie like Wonder Woman just came out. Like, they're giving this a push now. I feel like Marvel took care of... I think they took care of this property, right? Not only that, when you look at the quality of actors, when you look at the director that they chose and Ryan Coogler, like, yo, man, like, they, and if you look at the budget for this film, like, you get the feeling that they put a lot behind this and they made sure to not fuck this up. We're trusting them not to fuck this up, man. And so for me, I'm very excited about this, man. I can't wait till this movie comes out. Real talk, like, y'all don't know, man. Y'all really don't know how bad I've been waiting for this shit. I got really excited when I saw T'Challa, Black Panther, and Civil War. Like, he was the movie for me. Like, that was the movie for me. Like, outside of all the shit that was going on with Captain America and Iron Man and going to war and Spider-Man and all that other shit. Like, yeah. T'Challa, Black Panther was the movie for me. And for a whole lot of folks, man. And that's not to even say that, like, yo, Civil War was a good movie. Like, Avengers Civil War was good. But it was great to me because of T'Challa and Black Panther and Chadwick Boseman's portrayal of T'Challa, man. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. I can't wait. I can't motherfucking wait. And that's the thing, man. So we going to motherfucking Wakanda. Yeah. And my wife is probably, like, in the room, like, what the hell is this nigga yelling about? Like, real talk. Right? So, yeah, man, that's happening. Also, man, like I said, I'm going to segue to something different, man. We going to Wakanda, right? But, yeah, so outside of that, man, like I said, this trailer came out around the time of the NBA Finals, Game 4 NBA Finals, right? Now, before these finals started, I said that the Golden State Warriors was going to win this finals in 6 games. I gave LeBron James and the Cavaliers 2 games out of respect for LeBron James and the greatness that he is as a player, right? And I know I give, like, LeBron fans a lot of shit when it comes to this GOAT argument or whatever else, man. I know I was really giving y'all shit the last time when they were, like, down 3-0. And I was talking about, you know, champions, and, you know, better yet, the GOATs. GOATs never, you know, not getting swept, right? The GOATs don't get swept in the finals, right? That's what I said. And LeBron didn't get swept in the finals, right? So he still got a shot, right? Yeah. But excuse me, like, somebody, like, on Facebook, man, they kind of challenged me. They were like, yo, Spam, man, it's kind of funny, man. You a flip-flopping motherfucker, man. Like, yo, wasn't you rooting for the Cavs to beat the Warriors last year, and now you on the Warriors' dick? What's up with that, right? And the funny thing is, man, I would say this to all of you guys who are, like, questioning my loyalties and all this other stuff, man. Listen, here it is. I'm going to say this again. I think I've said this before on the show. I'm going to say it again. I am a Chicago Bulls fan when it comes to the NBA, right? Bulls fan through and through. Bulls fan to the world blow up. I'm also able to recognize great players and great play from other teams, and I have different reasons for why I like, you know, I root for different teams. Like last year, I could not co-sign the fuckery that was Draymond Green and the kickballing and all that other shit that Draymond was doing. I mean, like I don't fuck with that at all. I think there's no place for that in the game, right? Also, I kind of was like rooting for LeBron in those finals last year simply because it was just like to me, I guess I'm old school in a certain way, right? Like I have my team that I root for regardless. And so sometimes it's a little funny to me when I see people jumping from these, you know, from band, you know, like you know these people, they jump from bandwagon to bandwagon, whoever's hot right now, that's who they own, right? And I'm not typically like that. I'm like, yo, this is a good team. I like watching them play. But at the end of the day, yo, it's Bulls, man. If I had to pick anybody else over anything, it's Bulls. I don't give a fuck. Let's not make no mistake about that. It's the Bulls all day long with me, right? But I'm able to recognize, yo, Warriors going to probably win this in six, right? So that out the way, the Cavs were able to like kind of stave off elimination with these NBA finals, right? And they was out there balling, man. They was out there balling. Like, they scored motherfucking damn, was it 51 in the first quarter or some shit like that? They had some ridiculous-ass number at the end of the first quarter. And then an even more ridiculous number at the end of the first half. I think they were, like, at 80-something points at the first half. Like, those are numbers we know. We used to see those kind of numbers, like, in totality in the NBA, like, back in the 90s, right? Like, back when, like, the Pistons were like a thing, you know, with the Bad Boys and shit, and then the Knicks kind of picked that kind of like grind it out, slow it down, beat the fuck out of everybody kind of game. You know, we saw totals like that. The game, the way in which it's officiated now and the way the game is played, man, like it's so free flowing, man. And the 3-point shot is much more emphasized in this game now, right? So like guys are out there, you got guys who could shoot the fucking lights out. Steph Curry is still the best shooter I've ever seen in my life, like bar none. I don't give a fuck who you put him up against. Steph Curry is the best shooter I've ever seen in my life, right? But there were some amazing shots being hit by J.R. Smith. Kyrie Irving was hitting him with the right and the left going to the hole. LeBron James was attacking the rim. Like, they were hitting everything. Kevin Love was knocking down shots. The Cleveland Cavaliers were playing for their fucking lives in that game. Like, yo, it was like, yo, win or go home, right? So they were playing for their lives. And so I watched that game, was like, yo, at first I'm like, yo, man, okay. You know, they scored a lot of points in the first quarter. They're not going to be able to maintain this. Like, this level of play, they're not going to be able to maintain that. And then they maintained it into the second quarter. And then the third quarter came, and I'm like, okay, here's where Golden State is going to make their run. And I think they got the lead down to like 11 or so. And then here comes Cleveland with like a couple more 3-pointers, and boom, they're right back up like 16, 17 points. Just like that. And so, like, they were able to, like, maintain a level of shooting that we've never seen before. Like, I think they hit a finals record, 24 three-pointers, man. That's crazy. Crazy, man. So, Cleveland balled out. Cleveland, like, yo, they held, you know, they were able to at least get one at home. Now they got to go back to Golden State. Now, one of the things that I thought was interesting after this game was the conspiracy theories, man. Because the conspiracy theories started coming out, and the conspiracy theories was like, yo, the NBA would lose so much money if the Cleveland Cavaliers get swept in these NBA finals, man. The NBA didn't want the Cleveland Cavaliers to get swept in these finals because both of these venues make so much money, and the NBA gets TV money and all this other stuff, right? Let me tell y'all something right now. The TV money is already there. Like, they got paid for the TV money already. The only thing the only monies that would be dispersed are the ticket sales from the additional games these finals may produce. That's it. The TV money is already there. Okay? Secondly, and I know the officiating in this game was bad, but there's no amount of officiating that could actually make those shots go down that Cleveland wasn't able to knock down in that game. None. None. And, you know, like, folks are talking about, well, you know, like, Cleveland fans would say, well, the game was kind of rigged towards Golden State because, you know, who was that? Kevin Durant got a flagrant foul on Kevin Love, and he just hit him on the head incidentally as he was going up to the rim. They gave him a flagrant. That was a very bad call. There was also the incident where Draymond Green was able to,
stay in the game per after having two technical fouls. And then they said, well, no. The first technical foul was on Steve Kerr. And then the second technical foul was on Draymond Green, even though everybody in the building, all the people on the floor, and everybody at home was thinking that, yo, Draymond Green up out of there, yo. Very bad officiator. Very bad officiator. Not only that, like, a Golden State fan can say, yo, like, yo, Cleveland got out there and shot 20 motherfucking free throws in the first quarter, yo. Like, yo, we y'all are trying to extend this so Cleveland can stay in this. They shot 20 free throws in the first quarter. A lot of that was because Cleveland was attacking, man. They came out, they were playing for their fucking lives. The aggressors tend to go to the line, and that's exactly what happened. So, like, these conspiracy theories and shit about, like, yo, man, if the Warriors sweep, they lose $22 million and all this other shit. Like, yo, man, they all right. They all right. I do not believe that the Golden State Warriors, after having what happened to them last year by being the first team to lose a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals, to, like, have that 3-1 lead and then lose it, lose the entire thing. Nobody's out here like, yo, man, let's just go ahead and give him a game so we can get this extra $22 million. They're not doing that, man. They're not doing that. And even if they did, that would also require Cleveland to just be like, okay, we were missing all those other shots on purpose. We're going to make them all tonight. Nah, man, it's silly. It's silly. So, yeah, man, those NBA Finals, man, we get another basketball game. At the end of the day, we get another basketball game. And it is all good. I still believe that the Golden State Warriors are going to win this series. I gave Cleveland two. I gave them two, man. Like, I kind of expected them. Like, after the Cleveland Cavaliers lost game three, I said, well, Golden State was probably just going to wipe the floor with them and, like, go ahead and clean this up. But they didn't. So Cleveland got their one. I gave Cleveland two. We'll see what happens, man. I just want another. It's going to be real interesting to see how that game plays out, man. Real talk. Now, switching lanes here a little bit, man. We got a story, and this one here is this is about our sister Mary J. Blige, man. Now, Mary J. was she was in the middle of a divorce proceedings with her now ex-husband Kendu Isaacs. And Mary J. was ordered to pay Kendu an estimated, I think it was like $30,000 in temporary spousal support. And it got me to thinking, man. Got me to thinking.
If you're tied up, you better stay tied up because it's cheaper to keep her. This is from T. It says, it's cheaper to keep her.
Now, we're going to read this here. This is from TMZ. It's cheaper to keep her. It says, according to TMZ, the 9-time Grammy Award-winning artist has to pay her ex-manager $30,000. Which isn't chump change, but certainly not the $129,319 he originally requested. Let me turn this down. Jesus, Dad. Five little children that you're leaving behind. All right, got to turn Granddad down. All right, now. Since Isaac's original amount consisted of $5,000 to help with his aging parents, $4,971 to help support his two children from a previous relationship, $60,000 in back rent, $1,200 for dining expenses, along with $1,723 for groceries and a host of other things. Now, the thing that's interesting to me is, like, the exact amounts that this dude came up with. $1,723 is very motherfucking specific. Help with his aging parents. I mean, I'm sorry. Child support, $4,971. Very fucking specific. $1,200 for dining expenses, though. He's rounded around, right? Nice round number. Now, it also reads off to say the strength of a woman artist will also reportedly pay retroactive spousal support from September, along with Isaac's court fees, which totaled $235,000. The court found that Blige had to pay something in order for Martin to continue living the life he was accustomed to while living with Blige. Now, that's interesting, too. We see these stories all the time. I don't know, like, it's a battle of the sexes thing where folks talk about, well, like, you know, why do I have to give this woman all this money, especially with fellas? Why do I have to give this woman all this money? She's no longer my wife. She doesn't want to be my wife anymore. Why do I have to pay this woman all this money? This is bullshit, yada, yada, yada. And at the end of the day, you were the primary breadwinner. You were the primary breadwinner, and you made this woman accustomed to a certain style of living. She has to maintain that now. She has to maintain that now. And so it's on you to help her maintain that standard of living that you afforded her while she was your wife. And it's coming back the other way around with Mary J, where, like, now she has to afford this man a certain level of living
after he's no longer her husband because she was the primary breadwinner in this relationship. Now, you know, another thing too is that despite the amount of Blige has to fork over, the judge said that when the times were good, they were both living above their means and owe millions of dollars in back taxes. While promoting her latest album, Blige said the reason for their marriage fell apart because he cheated on her with someone that they both work with. Now, that's foul, bruh. That's foul, man. Foul as hell. And that's got to hurt, man, to pay somebody some money that you, like, you got to pay them some money after they fucked you over. Like, that's the thing about, like, everything with, like, divorces like this, man, it's always messy. It's always hurtful, man. It's real fucked up. And, but I'm glad she's got some peace of mind, right? Because at the end of the day, even though, like, that's a large chunk of change for a lot of folks, even for Mary J. Blige, I'm pretty sure she's happy to have some peace of mind to not have to deal with that motherfucker anymore, right? But she ain't the only one dealing with issues with an ex, man. So here's another story that we got. Here's another story coming up. We got another story coming with, who's this? Matt Barnes. Now, Matt Barnes is he's a small forward. I think he plays for Golden State now, man. So this dude is out here playing for, well, not really playing, but he's out there like trying to get him an NBA championship. He's never had an NBA championship. I don't think he's ever been on a championship team before. But he's out there playing for a championship, man. And then this shit pops up, right? So Derek Fisher, former NBA player, played for the Los Angeles Lakers for a long time. He also played for the Utah Jazz. He ended up being the coach for the New York Knicks for a spell. He was also like president of the NBA Players Association Union and all this other shit. Well, he's been dating the ex-wife of Matt Barnes, Gloria Govan. He's been dating her, and they've already gotten to a scuffle over this relationship, Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher. They might get into another one, man, because news just came out that Derek Fisher got into a DUI, totaled a truck. As a matter of fact, we're going to read this. This comes out of Bleacher Report. It says the vehicle former NBA player and coach Derek Fisher wrecked early Sunday morning was part of a suspected DUI was reportedly registered to Golden State Warriors forward Matt Barnes. According to TMZ Sports, Fisher is dating Barnes' ex-wife Gloria Govan, and Barnes reportedly gave Govan a 2015 Cadillac Escalade for the kids. It's always for the kids, ain't it? Since per the Los Angeles Daily News, Fisher flipped the SUV after hitting a guardrail. Fisher has been arrested on suspicion of DUI after police learned that he had been drinking. Both Fisher and Govan were uninjured in the accident. So he flipped the car and both of them were unharmed. So that, I mean, that's a good thing, but you know how upset a motherfucker gotta be when the dude that showed, like, okay. This is gonna sound, oh, hold on. Hold on, let me finish this. Hold on. Mm-mm. All right, granddad, we gotta stop. Here's the thing. Both of these motherfuckers got money, right? Why is Derek Fisher driving around in the car that Matt Barnes is providing for his ex-wife and his sons, as Matt Barnes would say, right? It's not as if Derek Fisher is not have the means in which to buy himself a car, in which to transport him and his girlfriend around. Derek Fisher is a multimillionaire, former NBA player, former NBA coach, former NBA union executive. Derek Fisher has the means. He might end up getting his ass whooped again fucking around with Matt Barnes after totaling that man's car, after he's already came at you for being in that house with his wife, his ex-wife and his kids. Now, the interesting thing here is like the ownership thing that, like, you know, a lot of dudes take over like their ex-wives or their ex-girlfriends and everything else. Like, yo, I've been with you. You have my kids. So therefore you can't fuck with anybody else after me and all this other shit. I like, there's that problematic shit there. But at the same time, it's like, yo, why is this nigga driving the car that I gave to you? That's a problem. I can see how that could be a problem, especially when this other dude has means. Like, why is he behind the wheel of a car that I paid for? Especially when he has abilities to get his own ride. Right? I can see how that could be like a stick in a dude's craw. Like, yo, man, why is this nigga behind the wheel of a car that I'm paying for? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see that, man. So I'm not saying that it's right, but I can see how a man would be upset about that, if you know what I mean. Right? I can see how somebody could just be like, yo, man, it's some bullshit, and I'm gonna beat that nigga's ass when I see him. Now, that's not exactly the right way to handle things all the time.
But like, yo, man, you had to know. Like, he had to know, like, yo, man, like, I probably shouldn't be driving this car. I got my own whip, baby. We can ride in my car wherever we going. I don't have to use your ride. Like, real talk, man. That would be probably how I would handle it. I would drive my own car. I'm like, I get it. You have your car and everything else, but no, we can ride in mine. I much prefer driving my car anyway, right? So yeah, man, it's cheaper to keep her. We might make that a segment of support, like celebrity divorces and shit. That might be a thing, man. Real talk. Now, what else we got? Matt Barnes, Mary J. Blige. Now, I also came across this this story here, man, and it's a bit. Let's just call this shit what it is. It's some fuck shit. And as a matter of fact, this kind of belongs into, it's been a while since we've done this, but it belongs right smack dab into this.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special Hotep unit. These are their stories.
All right, now, our induction into the special Hotep unit goes to, as a matter of fact, let me go to the original page that this shit was posted up so I can get this nigga's name. This shit was written by some nigga who goes by the name Verbs2015, right? And he writes for a website that's called SlainEvil.com, and it says, Exposing Corruption Under Every Rock. And the title of this article is, Black Men Walk Away from Black Women, 12 Good Reasons Why. Now, here's the thing, man. It's interesting because it kind of ties into something that I was dealing with something earlier this week, right? Of course, I don't know how many of you guys are aware of this, but there was a picture that went out about, there was Amber Rose. Amber Rose had a picture out where she was oiled up. She had on a fur coat, a bikini top, and she wasn't wearing a bikini bottom, and you saw the full frontal, right? And I was involved in a thread on Facebook. We were talking about the picture or whatever. And of course, you know, some dudes are really uncomfortable with a woman, black women or women of color, period, expressing their sexual freedom or being able to just take their agency by the balls, right? So to speak, like being able to just like, yo, man, I'm going to determine what kind of person that I am. I'm going to determine my image. I'm going to determine how I want to be seen. And I'm going to determine how I view myself. Like I'm going to basically take control of who I am. Damn what you're thinking about it. Right. And there's a lot of brothers who take issue with that. There's a lot of brothers who and of course they benefit from these patriarchal norms where they can police how women view themselves, how women act, how women try to make themselves desirable to these dudes, right? So seeing this sort of thing like is troublesome because there's so many brothers who engage in it. And I've said this on the show before, I'll say this again, there's a whole lot of brothers who would like to just trade places with white dudes, right? They don't want any sort of fucking equality anywhere, like in anything else. Like if they can just trade places with white dudes and nothing else changes, they would be all right with the world, right? So I'm going to read just a couple, some of the points on this article and maybe like a sentence or two from the points that he makes. There's a lot of fucking points that he tries to make on this shit. And I'm going to lead into where I'm going to with this. So first of all, the first point that this motherfucker puts up here is it says they're too masculine and too violent, right? It says black women as a group in 2016 have great penis envy. They wish they could be men so badly. They hate being feminine and they most certainly hate being women. This is one of the reasons why in recent times when a black man is involved in a discussion with a black woman and a disagreement arises, she will frequently tell that black man to suck her dick. Additionally, how many times have you heard black women address black men as my nigga or bruh? Not that black folks should be using the word nigga to address one another anyway. However, do you remember a time when this behavior was exclusive to men? I most certainly do. So you're longing for a time of those patriarchal norms, right? I've heard the term suck my dick from women, not necessarily addressed to me, but I've heard the term.
I've never once thought that she had penis envy because she said that. I know that a lot of dudes say that to women as a way to shut them up. And it's ironic, like, yo, women have taken that term and like kind of flip it on the nigga. They're like, yo, shut the fuck up. Because it's something that you tell women all the time. Yo, suck my dick. As it's it's a way of trying to assert some sort of dominance over a person in an argument, so to speak. Right? Or dominance, period. And so it's a lot of dudes who are put off and set aback when a woman comes out and says, yo, suck my dick, nigga. Like, yo, you say this all the time. Now, the thing you should be asking is, what kind of fucking interaction are you having with a woman where she feels like she has to say that kind of shit to you? Right? What kind of interactions are you having where a woman has to feel like she has to say that shit to you? How did you get to that point? And it's a whole lot of niggas that don't even want to think about how they got there. Meanwhile, they're talking about how women will have penis envy and women are too masculine and too violent and all this other shit, right? Another thing that, and this is something that's like, I kind of wanted to say, we don't, like, I don't know how prevalent this is in other cultures, but I think we're the only group or ethnic group or whatever that actively goes out and prints out articles and like books and like movies and all these things to put down women in our own communities, right? So we have Steve Harvey who goes out here and puts out movies like, you know, what's the name of that shit? Talk Like a Woman, Think Like a Man, some shit like, yeah, I think that's it. Or, like, you got all these relationship advice. Tyrese goes out here, he wants to give all this fucking relationship advice. He's not qualified to give any fucking relationship advice whatsoever. You know, you got dudes out here like fucking Tariq Nasheed and Umar Johnson and all these other things. All these dudes who go out of their way to try to police how black women are behaving, how black women are expressing themselves. And I think, it's weird because it seems like we're the only ones who do it. The only ones. I'm not saying that we are. I'm just saying from what I, you know, and I know it's anecdotal and all this other shit, but what I'm saying is from what I notice, it seems like brothers have a real big problem with how women, sisters, are expressing themselves and being who they are. So that's his first point. But he says they have foul attitudes. It's regrettable that most black women today have come preloaded with bad attitudes. Now, he thinks they come preloaded. He doesn't even give them the benefit of the doubt of saying, yo, something may have happened to which caused his attitude to be a thing. Like, attitudes don't just come out of fucking nowhere. Nobody comes out and just has a fucking attitude for no goddamn reason at all. Nobody does. But it goes on to say, for the longest while, black women have touted this negative disposition as a sign of strength. However, in recent times, more black men have begun to wise up to this long-running scam. Black women as a whole generally have a bad outlook on life. They enjoy being miserable, but at the same time, they hate having people around them who are happy and cheerful. This is why they will deliberately go out of their way to instigate trouble. What? I don't know anybody on this earth who enjoy being miserable. Nobody. Especially black women. See, here's the thing, man. Like, it's interesting because as much as brothers get shit in this world for just simply being black, it's a whole lot of black women who are dealing with that shit doubly because you got ashy niggas like this who are also bringing shit to women every day. This nigga thinks that black women have attitudes preloaded, that they just got an attitude just fucking because. Not even thinking about, yo, maybe my woman or maybe the women that I'm around have an attitude because I might not be shit and I invoke these type of emotions in them. It's got to be them. It can't be me. It's got to be them. Right? Like, these are the sorts of things, man, that, like, I read some of this shit and I see the way that some niggas talk, man, and, like, I'm like, yo, sometimes I'm like, yo, I don't even know how fucking sisters deal. Right? Like, I'd be like, yo, man, like, why do they even bother with a lot of niggas half the time? Real talk, man. Like, when you see some of the shit the niggas say and some of the shit the niggas do and express these attitudes that niggas express towards women of color, towards women who look like us, towards women who raised us, towards women who grew up with us, you're like, man, what the fuck, yo? Another one he puts up here. This is the last one I'm going to read. He has 12, and I'm going to leave a link if you want to check this bullshit out. But this third one is irresponsible, unaccountable, dishonest, and disrespectful. Now, the irony of this is that, yo, man, we got a lot of sisters out here who are the head of households where brothers who made children decided not to stick around with their children. We got a lot of women who are held accountable for everything that happens with that kid, man. Meanwhile, your father, or some fathers, and I'm not here to perpetuate any fucking stereotypes about absentee fathers and everything else, but let's be honest, man. Let's be honest about it. When people cite that 70% of single black parenthood and everything else, like, yo, it's mothers who are heading those households, man. And a lot of brothers who stepped out on those households when they probably should be there and could be there and choose not to be. And I know a lot of brothers get on the shit about, yo, man, she got child support on me, man. Like, the child support system ain't fair and all this other shit, man. But at the end of the day, yo, that's your seed, man. And you should be doing what you should be. You should be doing everything you can to be a part of that kid's life, man. Everything you can be. And some of y'all ain't paying what y'all really should be paying when it comes to childcare, man. Real talk. Some of y'all's contribution don't even cover fucking, like, lunch for the week. And there's doctor bills, and there's, you know, child, you know, daycare costs. There's diapers. There's food throughout the week outside of lunch. I mean, like, yo, there's time. A lot of you motherfuckers don't even want to spend the time with your kids, man. Dishonest and disrespectful. Like, it's disheartening, man, like, to hear so many brothers talk this shit. And you know what's funny, man? I was listening to some podcasts earlier this week, man. And I'm not going to even say this podcast name, man, because it's that's unimportant. But the message was this, man. I was listening to a podcast, man. They were talking about this dude named Jason Black. And Jason Black is some dude on YouTube, man. I've heard some of his videos. I've seen some of his videos. Jason Black is one of those people who talks a lot of shit about black people. Jason Black is also one of those people who never shows his fucking face. Right? So you don't even know who the fuck Jason Black is. There's a lot of people who want to talk shit about black people, black women specifically, and never show their fucking face. They're cowards like fuck. Right? It's real cowardly to get on these mics and not know, and people don't know who you are. Now, I know a lot of people got shit to protect and everything else, but yo, if you're going to say some shit, be able to stand behind what the fuck it is you say. When you get on these mics, when you get on these platforms, be able to stand behind what the fuck it is you say. Right? And they were talking shit about this other dude who, you know, he does, like, I don't know, maybe motivational videos to, you know, about black women and everything else. He gives bigs up. He big ups to sisters, right? And the video in particular that was in question was this video about the benefits of dating a single mom, right? And Jason Black goes on this video and he's talking about how much this dude is lying to these black women, how much this dude is basically trying to sell these black women, you know, these ideas on, like, basically so he can enrich himself. So he's like, yo, I got this event coming up. You guys can buy tickets. And basically he's trying to say that this dude is saying all this shit. He's misleading all these women so he can get money out of these women. And he's selling these women this idea that if they do these things, they can get somebody who looks like him. Apparently this guy who they were talking about is an attractive dude. I don't know. Never seen the guy. Don't care. Right? But it was interesting because everything that this dude was saying, Jason Black was coming on talking about how he was basically talking about how what this dude was saying was a lie. He's lying to black women. And then he went out of his way to shit on black women about whatever it was that Jason Black was talking about, especially when it came to why are you talking to me right now? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. He was basically trying to negate everything that this other guy was saying by shitting on black women, right? Now, this podcaster in question co-signed this, right? He may have had issues with this guy before. I don't know. But he co-signed this message that Jason Black had, right? Very next show, it was a video where he's talking about Jesse Lee Peterson. And Jesse Lee Peterson is on this show. And he has his sister on there. And she's talking about Black Lives Matter. She called Jesse Lee Peterson a white supremacist. And I believe that is true also. And Jesse Lee Peterson cited the same statistic, that 70% of black kids are born in the single parent homes and everything else. And Jesse Lee Peterson used that statistic to talk about how bad black families are, how bad black motherhood is and everything else. Right. And it became Jesse Lee Peterson was a coon during this presentation. Now, mind you, I'm not caping for Jesse Lee Peterson at all. But what I'm saying is, if Jason Lee Peterson is a coon for that, then how come Jason Black isn't? Right? If Jesse Lee Peterson and Jason Black are essentially saying the same fucking thing, how are we giving a pass to Jason Black and not calling him a coon also? When it comes to talking shit about our black, when it comes to shit, talking shit about women, period, man. Especially sisters. There's a lot of dudes who have a tacit approval when talking shit about sisters, man. And sometimes, yeah, they'll be like, yo, I want to separate certain sisters from these sisters. Like, they gotta know I ain't talking about them and all this other shit. Like, nah, man. We the only ones who do that shit. The only ones. It's a whole lot of brothers, man, who would love to trade places with white men. They don't give a fuck about anything else. If they could trade that shit for whiteness, they would. And they would say to you, no, what the fuck you talking about, Span? I wouldn't do that. Like, yes, you would. Your actions, like, people say a lot of things, their actions say a whole lot different. And your actions are saying what exactly it is that you're thinking and saying without you even being conscious of it. So, yeah, man, to whoever this dude is, what's his name? Verbs 2015. Yeah, fuck you. And that dude goes into the special HOTEP unit.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories.
All right, now we are up on our other segment, man. We haven't done this in a while, and it's been high time that we did this. It's been about 2 weeks, man. I can't believe it's been 2 weeks, but it's been 2 weeks since the last time we did Ass Hat of the Week.
Yo! We got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And today's Ass Hat of the Week is none other than Bill Maher, right? Now, I was supposed to talk about Bill Maher Thursday. I didn't get around to doing it, but it was perfect for me to just go ahead and just leave this for Thursday or leave this for Sunday when we do our Ass Hat of the Week, because Bill Maher he's earned it. He's definitely earned it. Now, Bill Maher is an Ass Hat of the Week here on the Spare Report because of the fact that Bill Maher decided that he was going to make a joke about himself being a house nigga, right? Now, he had a Republican congressman or senator, I believe he's from the state of Nebraska. I think his name was something Sassy or some shit like that, right? And Sassy said something about Bill Maher needs to come to Nebraska. We would love to have you come work in our fields. And Bill Maher says, work in the fields? I'm a house nigga, right? It was a joke. It was a bad joke. But the thing about Bill Maher, and this has kind of been a thing for Bill Maher over the course of the last few years, man. Bill Maher has made it a habit of saying some really fucked up shit, and nobody really, well, people have been calling him on it. But the thing is, now we've come to a point where, like, with a lot of comedians, with a lot of people, period, especially now, as heightened as our political discourse is in this country, they always attribute it to being PC, right? Political correctness is ruining America. You know, political correctness, we can't say anything, we can't do anything, fuck these people, yada, 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 right? So Bill Maher attributes his fuck up to his trying to tell a joke and him being a comedian and everything else. And he issued an apology later in the week. Hold on just a second. Let me take a swig. All right. Now, he attributed this, you know, it to him being a comedian and everything else. He apologized later in the week. And for the next show, he decided like he was going to be like blackity black 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 on his show. So he went out. He already had Ice Cube scheduled to join his join the show to promote the 25th anniversary of the release of the Death Certificate album. Very first tape I ever bought was the Death Certificate. It's been 25 years, and that's just blowing my mind. But it was, he had Ice Cube on there. He had Simone Sanders, who was a former, I think she was like a press secretary for the Bernie Sanders campaign, I believe. And he had Michael Eric Dyson, who is a friend of Bill Maher's. He's a regular on the Bill Maher real-time show and everything else, right? And so Bill Maher issued an apology. He had Michael Eric Dyson with him, and he did the apology. But one of the things about these apologies, man, you can always tell when they're insincere when they come with fucking conditions, right? A truthful apology is very fucking simple. And I think we've said this on the show before, man. Apologize and stop qualifying your apologies. All you got to say is like, look, man, I fucked up. My bad. It won't happen again, right? I sincerely apologize. I hope you can forgive me. And then you go about the business of making sure that that shit never happens again. That's how you apologize. But to get on the fucking TV, invite all these black people to kind of be your cover for white folks, because that's really who it's for. It's not for us. It's for white folks to feel comfortable about their ability and his ability to say this and be forgiven for it. That's really what it's about. It has nothing to do with our forgiveness whatsoever. Right? But so Bill Maher, he does this apology, and then he's qualifying his apology. He's like, yo, you know, I'm a comedian, and I tried to do this, and I fucked up, and, you know I fucked up, but yo, man, you know, it's in the music, you know, black people say it all the time, it's in the American lexicon. He's coming up with all this shit, and he could have just ended it in like, yo, I fucked up, my bad, won't happen again, I'm sorry, and go about the work of doing it no more. That's all he had to do, right? And it's interesting, man, how, like, so many black people came out and they caped for Bill Maher, right? And I get it. Bill Maher is one of those people, man, like, we watch these shows. He's one of the few liberal, like, shows that kind of go, that's popular mainstream, right? Like, people, for at one point in time, Bill Maher was the only place where you can get commentary like that. Now you get that pretty much everywhere. CNN has a 9-person panel every fucking day. MSNBC does Morning Joe and all these other sorts of things. Like, they do town hall meetings and shit. Like, Bill Maher, like, the need for his show is less and gets less and less by the day, because cable news has pretty much taken that format and ran with it. It's no longer exclusive to HBO and Bill Maher, right? So Bill Maher has been able to, like, he's been able to get away with a lot of shit simply because for a long time he was the only one to have that sort of format where people that you never heard of were given a chance to be heard, right? So we saw a lot of Michael Eric Dyson. We see a lot of Cornel West. We see a lot of Killer Mike and what have you. We see all these voices, Bakari Sellers and what have you. Bakari Sellers came out talking about, we need to forgive Bill Maher. Donna Brazile came out, we need to forgive Bill Maher. Michael Eric Dyson talking about, we need to forgive Bill Maher. Even Ice Cube was like, yo, I like you. And this is the thing about even having Ice Cube on there. Like, everybody was excited, like, yo, Ice Cube gonna give it to him. Ice Cube he came out there like, yo, he was qualifying a lot of his shit. Like, yo, man, I like you. And he told him, like, yo, you say some fucked up shit and you got real familiar, but you shouldn't say that word anymore. He kept saying, I like your show. I like you. Right? He kept having to tell him that. He kept having to make sure that Bill was comfortable with what he was about to say, even though Bill Maher was still rebuttaling. Bill Maher was still bucking back then. As 3 black people on this panel. You had, like I said, Michael Eric Dyson. You had Ice Cube. You had Simone Sanders. None of them really gave it to him in the ways in which they probably should have. Probably because out of the courtesy of the fact that they were on his show. And another thing that was interesting was the reaction of the crowd, which is typically white and liberal. And how when he talked about his apology and being forgiven and everything else, oh man, they were uproarious with their applause, man. Because at the end, after a certain point, it's about, yo, man, these black people need to shut the fuck up and we need to move on. And setting those black concerns aside, this is going to get a whole lot of liberals in trouble when it comes to these elections, man. Whole lot of them. And this is what happens with, like, even with Bernie Sanders, man. A whole lot of Bernie Sanders supporters, like, totally ignore black people, black voters. Bernie Sanders himself, black people and black voters. And it's why he lost in the primaries. Because they wouldn't acknowledge black concerns. It's all about economics with them. So, not only that, one of the interesting things about this whole thing with Bill Maher was like, yo, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out and he started talking about the need, you know, like the malice behind the word and the intent behind the word and how it was used by Bill Maher and how, you know, and all the, like, the nuances and all this other shit. But the interesting thing about this is like, yo, Bill Maher has been out here for years now saying all sorts of foul shit about Islam, you know, Islam, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hasn't been out here saying much of anything. This man changed his name from Lew Alcindor to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Bill Maher goes out here damn near every week and talks shit about Islam, and Jabbar had absolutely nothing to say, but he's caping for him on his nigga shit. Whole lot of disappointing niggas, man. Whole lot of disappointing niggas going out there caping for Bill Maher. Now, listen, I've watched Bill Maher's show for a long time. I don't really watch it as much now. Every now and again, I might catch it as a podcast, right? I may listen as I'm working or something like that, and I need something to listen to. I'll probably pull that up every now and again. I don't listen to him nearly as much as I used to, because Bill Maher is not the same guy. Right. And as someone who does, you know, content creation and speaks on these issues and stuff like that, I can see how, like, yo, people who used to listen to me years ago probably couldn't listen to me now because the message is different. Like, the way I've evolved is a little bit different. Bill Maher has evolved into an Islamophobe, something like sometimes racist, sometimes like religious bigot. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, Bill Maher has, like, and not only that, man, he's an older white guy. He gets away with it. Because sometimes he's on the right side of shit, right? That allows him to get away with a lot of shit. But yo, man, Bill Maher has certainly earned his ass hat of the week this week here on the Span Report.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here.
All right. Now, our champ of the week this week here at the Span Report podcast, man, is a group of New Jersey middle schoolers. I'm going to read this story. But yeah, these eighth graders warm my heart, man. I had a single tear fall down my face when I read this story, man. Real talk. That happened, man. It really fucking happened. But yeah, man, let me go ahead and read this story. Now, a group of New Jersey middle school students on a field trip to Washington, D.C. caused a stir when many of them refused to take a picture with Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan. This all happened on Thursday, and the parents' reaction to the incident are symbolic of the deep political divide the country is currently experiencing. Student Matthew Malaspina couldn't go through with the picture. It's just not a picture, he said. The students didn't care what Ryan's role in the government is. 100 of them refused to take part in the picture. It's being associated with a person who puts his party before his country, Matthew said. The students found out about the picture taking the night before it happened. I'm just not going to do it, Matthew texted to his mother. Say you would rather not, she replied, and that was what he did. The point was, I don't want to be associated with him and his policies and what he stands for, said Matthew's mother, Alyssa Malspina. Now, I'll say this, man. There was 100 kids who decided that they were going to go through with this picture, right? But I want to say this. our kids aren't fucking stupid. Our kids have principles that a lot of times we go out of our way to kind of, hold on, let me turn this down. Whitney, you blowing right now. You blowing, baby. But our kids, a lot of times, man, like, they're paying attention, and we don't really give them credit for the attention that they pay and how smart our kids really are, man. Like, it harkens back, like, and I don't want to make this about me, man, but I remember being, like, you know, wanting to vote for Paul Tsongas and shit for president, even though I was nowhere near able to vote. And this is, like, I think when George W. Bush ran the first time. Like, a lot of these kids are paying attention, and they are astute as to what's going on. They're paying attention to what's going on, and they don't like what they see. Now, I know a whole lot of folks will say that, like, yo, these parents are putting these kids up to this kind of shit. Excuse me. And that's probably very well and good. But there's a whole lot of kids who are able to kind of, like, pay attention and make these decisions for themselves. And it's interesting, man. Like, these kids are like, yo, man, they understand representation. And they understand tacit approval. And I'm not going to be standing. That kid was like, yo, man, I'm not about to be standing next to this motherfucker knowing I don't like him. Come on, man. Y'all got the wrong dude. Fuck that. I ain't doing it. Now, he didn't say it like that. That's pretty much how, like, Span's son would probably say it if I had a son, man. So, yeah, man. Like, those 100 New Jersey middle school kids, they're the Span Report Podcast champs of the week here, man. I know this happened a couple of weeks ago, but I had to acknowledge those kids, man. And give them the proper respects that they needed here at the Span Report, man. Real talk. But, yeah, we got to get out of here, man. Now, let me say this before I get ready to go. I'm going to try to give you guys a show Thursday. Thursday, right before Friday. Well, Thursday, of course, is right before Friday. But, yeah, I'm going to NegroCon in Washington, D.C. this weekend. So there will be no show on next Sunday. But Thursday, we'll have a show. We're going to have a show come this next Thursday. So before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know, again, how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails, man. Those co-host submissions, man, go ahead and leave those one-minute videos at the email. Let me know if you feel like you would be good here at the Span Report Podcast. Let me know if you feel like you'd be a good fit. One-minute videos on those emails, so go ahead and send those. Also, Twitter and Instagram, my name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so go ahead and follow me there. Leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Go ahead and do that for your mans, man. It helps the show grow. You don't have to put any money on it, man. You putting down here for the Span Report Podcast, letting everybody else know you fuck with us over here and what we doing. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com and get all your podcasts fixed there, man. Go ahead, vote in the polls, leave a comment, listen to the show. Everything's available at the website, man. So go ahead and do that. I got to get out of here, but we're going to cut off this Whitney. We got to cut off the Whitney. And we gonna go out here right, man. We gonna do this right. And we going out with this. So, yeah. Until next time, fam. Peace.